Welcome to the award-winning Texas Outdoor News. 60 minutes of news, interviews, hints, and insight into the great outdoors. Now your hosts, Harold Gunn and Bill Olson.
And good morning to you. This is Harold Gunn, and I want to welcome you to Texas Outdoor News. You know, we're brought to you by Ford Trucks and your best in Texas Ford dealers. Today, we're going to be bringing you outdoor news from throughout the state as well as the nation, along with the best for fishing and hunting and a whole lot more.
Good morning, Texas. This is Bill Olson. Hope everybody's having a great last weekend in August.
Mm-hmm.
Because this time next week,
yes,
we're going to be in the field shooting dove.
Yes, we will.
Hunting seasons are upon us. And to give us a forecast, outlook, update as to the upcoming season and regulation changes, Owen Fitzsimmons, Texas Parks and Wildlife Department's Webless Migratory Bird Program Director.
Huh?
That's a fancy title for the dove guy.
You know? Webless.
Means it doesn't have webbed feet.
Oh. Okay.
Leave it to...
In the days of the internet, you said, oh, he doesn't have a connection or something, right? Okay.
Anyway, we'll give him a bad time about that.
Yeah.
But we've got Owen that'll be with us. We've got some updated news. Harold and I kick some things around. We've got a good show headed your way. So y'all stick around and remember, you're listening to your reliable information source for the great outdoors, Texas Outdoor News.
Someone is stealing Texas wildlife, and the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department needs your help to stop it. Every time a poacher strikes, it is theft, pure and simple. Poaching also impairs your ability to enjoy your wildlife resources. Whether you hunt, fish, or just enjoy the wonders of Texas wildlife, now to many, there is nothing lower than a poacher, and we have a way to deal with it. It's called Operation Game Thief. Operation Game Thief was established in 1981 as a means for you to help Texas game wardens stop illegal hunting and fishing. A toll-free number is your link to Operation Game Thief. 1-800-792-GAME. That's 1-800-792-GAME. If a report results in apprehension and conviction, Operation Game Thief will pay rewards up to $1,000. Something else for you to know, Operation Game Thief is funded entirely by private donations. That means we need your tax-deductible financial support. To find out how to become a sponsoring member of Operation Game Thief or to report a hunting or fishing violation, call 1-800-792-GAME.
Hi, this is Harold Gunn, inviting you to join me and some friends for the Automotive Reporter. For over 15 years, the country's most informative auto show. An hour of news, interviews, product reviews, and motorsports. We'll be testing the newest cars and trucks, bringing you major guests from the automotive industry. Visit AutomotiveReporter.com for a list of our stations. Play the latest programs and more. While there, download the free Stitcher Smart Radio app and listen to us anywhere, anytime on your computer or smartphone. That's AutomotiveReporter.com.
Its ancestors won wars and explored continents. Its body and frame forged in heavy-gauge steel. This is the Roxor from Mahindra, a legendary off-road vehicle. With more than 70 years of hardcore heritage, a turbo diesel engine, and 5-speed manual transmission. All new, no mercy. Test drive yours today. Find a dealer at RoxorOffroad.com.
You're listening to Texas Outdoor News. Bill Olson along with Harold Gunn. We do appreciate you making us a part of your weekend plan.
That sounded like a new spot.
New sponsor, Mahindra Roxor. Neat, neat vehicle. Think Willie's Jeep, because that's basically where it comes from and looks like and acts like.
I wonder what the Jeep folks think about that.
Yeah, I understand. But, I mean, this is diesel-powered.
Wow.
And Mahindra, long known for their tractor lineup.
Oh, their
lineup,
tractors, you betcha. You know? Absolutely.
But they've got an ATV line, you know, the traditional side-by-side that we've seen from so many.
Right.
But now comes the Roxor, and pretty impressive. We're going to be talking more about it and learning more about it in the weeks and months ahead. I know you've been traveling.
Yeah.
I know that you saw your daughter and you lost another member of your family.
Yeah.
Your kitty cat.
Our beloved cat, Blue.
Yeah.
Yep. Mr. Blue.
You know, sorry to hear about that. You know, I tell you what, pets.
Yeah.
They're, I mean, you can look at our human relatives mm-hmm. and then add to it the pets.
Right.
And, right. boy, the difference, you know, when you lose one is mm-hmm. just almost.
It really is. It really
you
is
know,
tough.
It really is tough. Sorry about that.
Thank you.
While you were gone, finishing up back-to-back-to-back outdoor shows.
At you the said Hunter's they were all good.
They were phenomenal. Yeah. Hats off to the folks that put on the Hunter's Extravaganza. Houston started off gangbusters. Fort Worth was excellent. And San Antonio, my goodness, heard so many people having record day sales of product. Ran across some folks. One of them that I ran across, and I laughed because I just pulled this up. I got a follow-up email from John Sontag. He is vice president, head of title operations, and escrow officer at Southwest Abstract Company in Del Rio. John is who I had a conversation with 3 years ago at the San Antonio Hunters Extravaganza and started raising questions about CWD and its potential impact or attachment to the chain of title.
Right. You had mentioned that some time back.
Yeah. Right. And I sat on this story for 3 years. And for anyone that has read the August issue of Texas Outdoors Journal, title of the story is Potential Unknown Consequences of CWD. Read it. Read it, read it, read it. But he's responded because I saw John and his wife, Sonia, and he said, you know, I read your article and gave it a lot of thought and checked with a few underwriters. Both said they really had not heard of it and was not familiar enough to comment. Typical attorney. Ha ha. last night, he read the article again, and the same thing hit me as the first time. A simple solution to just begin with would be whatever agency is responsible for the inspection and determining if CWD is represented should get a good legal description of the infected property, then prepare the notice of CWD in a recordable form and have it filed in the county clerk's office, much like we do like with water district notices.
Right.
Okay? Great solution, but this is something that landowners, and particularly if you own a high-fence ranch or are looking at a high-fence ranch, there's exposure for the brokers, there's exposure for the landowners, mm-hmm. And it needs to be addressed, and it really has not been. And that was the purpose of writing the article. Since then, I've had other thoughts on CWD.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
all I do is sit around and think about stuff.
Yeah.
You know? If the prions, get this, if the prions are in the soil forever, mm-hmm. which is the assumption, whether you have a fence or no fence, low fence, high fence, doesn't matter, and you have a heavy rain and it washes the topsoil off and moves it into creeks, streams, downstream to your neighbor, whatever. Now, there's really no way to prevent. The state's been trying to restrict movement of deer, done a pretty good job. And bottom line is it's an issue that a lot of people have turned a deaf ear on. Governor Scott Walker of Wisconsin came in on May 2nd of this year and basically said there's going to be about, I think, a 36-inch separation barrier from the exterior fence to an interior fence that will also be high-fenced, double fencing.
Wow.
So animals cannot nuzzle through the square mesh. If you've not picked up a copy, I suggest you do so before they go off sale, particularly if you're interested, because it's something that no one has been talking about.
Oh, another note, though. I got this the other day, and it tickled me no end, as you're talking about successful events. Mm-hmm. Trade Show News Network has recognized the NRA annual meetings and exhibits as 2018's fastest-growing association show in the U.S., presenting the honor at their awards on August 11th in Louisville.
I thought NRA was going broke. I thought, you know, the ownership was down. You know, I thought participation was down.
Guess what? Yeah. Coming on the heels of the largest NRA annual meetings in history last May in Dallas, the event already named among the top 25 fastest-growing shows in the country earned this top spot from among hundreds of associations. Unusual for a 70-year-old show from a 147-year-old organization to garner such an award over organized organizations representing, you know, new developing industries and so on, said Jeff Poole, with their director of shows. Awards proof is the NRA is in tune with its membership. At the annual meeting in Dallas, a record attendance of 87,154. And that was the largest in history, followed by their second largest in history, which is the one in Houston.
Right.
So one and two from the great state of Texas. So let's get out there and do some more support, friends. The 148th annual meetings, scheduled April 25, 28, will be in Indianapolis.
Speaking of support, yep. Nice job to offshore anglers. Those going for Red Snapper. On Wednesday of this week, the federal season closed in federal waters. Season for Red Snapper continues year-round in Texas state waters out to 9 nautical miles.
Uh-huh.
Reason why I say nice job is it seems as though people have embraced the iSnapper app,
okay,
and the reporting, which is what we need to do. Let's continue to do that while we continue to fish in our state waters year-round. The bag limit for Red Snapper in Texas state waters is 4 snapper per day with a 15-inch minimum length. Okay.
Very good. Well, I'm glad people use that app. That's great.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've got to keep doing that because that's the way that's going to really turn the tables and support regional management, which is what we need to do.
Yeah, you got to get up off of that thing.
All right. We'll go into more detail next week because we're running tight on time with everything that we've got on our plate this week. But U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has reported that duck numbers are down, but populations still remain healthy. Basically, the numbers are down from 2017, but they're still, for most species, are ahead of the long-term average.
Okay.
And we'll get into it.
Right.
Yes, I didn't know what you had in your hand, but you're exactly right.
It's that special time.
Yeah, for the CCA Star Tournament Leaderboard.
And here we go, our favorite division, the Little Nippers. It's the Star Kids Scholarship Division, ages 6 to 10. They are vying for $50,000 college scholarships. And no changes this week. They're hanging on. They only got a week to go, right, basically?
Yeah, it's Labor Day Monday at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, so Flounder Leader, 6-pound, 3-ounce. Cannon Martin, who's 9. Sheepshead Leader, 8-pound, 3-ounce. Tanner Bashy, who is 8. Gafftop Leader, 7 pounds even. McKenzie Abair, who is 8.
In the Academy Sports and Outdoor Star Teen Scholarship Trout Division, ages 11 to 17, 6-pound minimum, $25,000 scholarship. It just goes to show you it's never too late.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? In the Upper Coast Speckled Trout Division, Noah Fong, age 12, new leader, 7 pounds, 2 ounce. Mid-Coast Leader remains Kayla Albers, age 12, 8 pounds, 4 ounce. And Audrey Lozano, age 17, continues to lead Lower Coast, 8 pounds, 10 ounce.
Okay, the Star Teen Scholarship Inshore Division. Flounder Leader still, 6-pound, 1-ounce Chase Blackwell, who's 16. Sheepshead, 10-pound, 3-ounce Emily Gray, who is 15. And the Gafftop Leader is still Madison Newmans, age 16, with a 6-pound, 12-ouncer.
In the Adult Speckled Trout Division, Robert Lewis remains our Upper Coast Leader, 9 pounds even. Chris Grappington continues to lead Mid-Coast, 9 pounds, 4 ounce, and Frank Cavazos continues to lead Lower Coast, 11 pounds, 0 ounces. These guys have pretty much gone wire to wire.
Yeah, they have.
Hey, fellas, is the pressure starting to get to you a little bit?
You think? Okay, Kingfish, 66-pound, 15-ouncer from Austin Fuller. Dorado, 38-pound, 15-ounce Ashley Gerloff. And the Ling, still that 77-pound, 15-ounce whopper from Grant Gale.
All right, in the Adult Flounder Division, Carlos Gonzalez leads 7 pounds, 11 ounce. Eduardo Torres continues to lead Sheepshead, 10 pounds, 13 ounce. Jeanette Darter remains our Gafftop Leader, 6 pounds, 13 ounces.
And of the 60-tag redfish, they got out there where you fish. They want you to catch them. 15 have been caught, 7 winners, 8 were invalidated, and 6 were released. But there's still some swimming out there. So you still get that that boat, motor, trailer package.
Need to get out. You need to join. Because there's a drawing for the boat, motor, trailer package just for signing up. But we're too shy of equaling last year's record of 9.
Yeah.
And Bill Kenny is just, you know, going.
They want you to get them.
Oh, they do. Yeah. They do. They do. All right. Let's see. Where are we? We done that. We did that.
We
That's
done something
checked
else?
Off. Yes. Yeah. No, we need to go to break.
Okay, let's do that.
And we'll be back right after this.
This is Harold reminding you that it's time to get those fields and food plots planted. And the products you need come from Plot Spike Seed. I use Plot Spike at my place, and the deer love it. Now's the time to plant Plot Spike Forage Oats, especially blended for forage. These oats produce an extremely high yield and a long growing season. Plot Spike Forage Oats can be planted in September for great grazing early in the season, and since they're more cold tolerant than other varieties, they usually last through the entire hunting season. University tests show Plot Spike Forage Oats are capable of producing over 10,000 pounds of nutritious forage per acre, and that's a lot of deer chow. Plot Spike Forage Oats and their other wildlife management products are available at feed and sporting goods stores and at Tractor Supply. You can learn about their full lineup of year-round products and order online at plotspike.com. Pure, premium, proven Plot Spike.
Despite everything Harvey threw at us last year, the CCA Star Fishing Tournament is back. Our sponsors rose to the occasion and, in the true spirit of Texas, donated over $1 million in prizes this year. So special thanks to Texas Ford Dealers, Tilson Homes, Capital Farm Credits, Academy Sports and Outdoors, Mercury Marine, Whataburger, LP Building Products, Off Power Polaris, Mustang Cat, and Shiner Box. And now you can keep on fishing with a chance to win great prizes like John Landrum.
Check out my new boat. Thanks, CCA. You made me a winner.
Or Nick Garza.
I went fishing and I caught a Polaris. Thank you, CCA.
Or Cameron Brooks.
I won a $25,000 scholarship.
Yeah!
The sponsors are here. The CCA Star Fishing Tournament is here. The Spirit of Texas is here, and you should be here. Sign up at participating Academy Sports and Outdoors, local bait camps, and marinas. Information available at participating Texas Ford Dealers and StarTournament.org.
Friends, you can now listen to Texas Outdoor News worldwide on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android, Kindle, PC, Mac, and more. On demand and on the go on your mobile phone with no syncing and no memory or storage waste. Downloading Stitcher is quick, easy, and free. Just go to TexasOutdoorNews.com and click on the Stitcher tab. In your app store, order Stitcher free, then listen anytime, anywhere on Stitcher.com.
America's best-selling truck, 41 years running, is Ford. These people work very hard every day to build the best trucks, trucks you need, trucks with best-in-class payload and towing. But you're not going to see them celebrate these 41 years with a lot of fireworks and party hats, because it's not about them, it is about you. It's about building the trucks you depend on to get the job done. That's how they built them yesterday, that's how they will build them today, and most importantly, that is how they will build them tomorrow. America's best-selling truck for 41 years, Ford's F-Series, built Ford tough, the best in Texas.
We're back with Texas Outdoor News, and it's time for Best Bets. What's coming up, Harold?
Indeed. Checking the Texas Outdoors Journal Fishing and Hunting Times this weekend. Both Saturday and Sunday, as well as Monday, are a trio of best days. Tuesday is a good one. Wednesday slips to fair. Thursday and Friday plunge to poor. Next weekend, both Saturday and Sunday are fair. This weekend, look for game to be most active from late morning until mid-afternoon. On Monday and Tuesday, this major feeding period of the day will occur from early afternoon until late afternoon. By Wednesday and Thursday, times will have continued to adjust each day, so look for game to be actively feeding from early to mid-afternoon until the evening hours before sunset. On Friday and next Saturday, this most active period occurs from mid-afternoon until the evening hours after sunset. Next Sunday, a major time shift occurs, with game being most active from well before sunrise until mid-morning. This Sunday, August the 26th, we will have a full moon. By next Sunday, September the 2nd, the moon will enter its last quarter phase. And let me throw out there, too, they say the night of the 27th, check, because for the first time in a long time, and the last time for centuries or something, is Mars will be so much closer to the Earth. So the a little night sky thing with the moon and the Mars.
You got neighbors up there?
Maybe. Anyway, on the coast, this weekend as well as Monday and Tuesday are a quartet of days with a double tide schedule of two high and two low. This Wednesday is a three tide day with two high tides and just one low one. Thursday through next Saturday will each have a double tide schedule. Then next Sunday is another three tide day with two low tides and just one high.
I didn't know. You know so many people. I just figured, you know.
My Uncle Martin, yeah.
It is time for the Outdoor Report, and we head to the coast, where fishing has been good depending upon where you've been fishing.
Well, right.
Duh. But west winds and some low tides have hampered some of our upper coast areas, particularly Calcasieu and Sabine. But winds have switched back around and looks as though fishing continues to improve. Redfish have been good in the marsh on the Louisiana side of Sabine Lake on soft plastics and frogs. East Galveston Bay, where whiting and sand trout have been good along the intercoastal on fresh shrimp. West Galveston Bay, particularly down towards San Luis Pass, Chocolate Bay, redfish have been very good. Bull redfish caught on crabs and mullet. Out of Freeport, offshore activity continues to be good. Captain Mike Seagull reports that the offshore fishing in state waters for red snapper remains good, and the back marshes have been excellent for both redfish and speckled trout. East Matagorda Bay, mid-bay reefs continue to be good for those drifting. West Matagorda, grass beds for redfish. Heading down toward Rockport, redfish have been good around Estes Flats and around Mud Island. Out of Corpus Christi, heading down toward Baffin Bay from Pita Island all the way along the King Ranch shoreline to the mouth of Baffin. Topwater bite has been good, followed by soft plastic around the rocks and the grass. Port Mansfield, head to the north, head up toward the land cut or those grass flats on the north end of the lower Laguna Madre. South Padre, Mexiquita Flat has been good. So has the areas around Gaswell Flats on shrimp or gulp under a popping cork.
Okay, heading to East Texas. Caddo, black bass are good on Texas rigged creature baits, hollow body frogs, and spinner baits, Conroe. Black bass are good on pumpkin seed and watermelon red Carolina rigged soft plastics. Catfish are good on stinky bait, night crawlers, and shrimp. Fork, crappie are good on minnows on brush piles. Lake of the Pines, black bass are good on Texas rigged craws, black buzz baits, and weightless flukes. Livingston, black bass are good on watermelon soft plastics, spinner baits, and crankbaits. White bass are good on hellbenders, pet spoons, and Charlie slabs. Blue cats are good on shad. Toledo Bend, white bass are good on pet spoons and Charlie slabs. Brim are excellent on crickets and night crawlers off of the docks. Athens, black bass are good on hollow body frogs, weightless cinchos, and buzz baits. Crappie are good on minnows and jigs. Belton, black bass are good on spinner baits and rattle traps. Crappie are good on minnows. Channel and blue cats are good on summer sausage. Richland Chambers, white bass are good on slabs. Hybrid stripers are also good on slabs.
Sounds like you're having a picnic.
Yeah, doesn't it? Yeah. Sound pretty good.
All right, to South Texas and out Del Rio way, Amistad Reservoir, black bass have been good on cinchos, crankbaits, spinnerbaits, and soft plastics. Catfish are good on stinkbait, liver, and frozen shrimp over baited holes. On our power plant lakes, best bite is on Calaveras, where striped bass have been good on chicken livers and shad along the shoreline. Redfish are good, downrigging silver and gold spoons or live bait near the dam in 10 to 20 feet of water. Choke Canyon Reservoir, bass have been good on chartreuse white spinnerbaits and large soft plastics. Channel blue catfish are good on punch bait. Falcon Reservoir, best bite, channel and blue catfish on stink bait. Brownwood Reservoir, bass to 6 pounds, excellent on watermelon, green pumpkin, black, blue, soft plastic frogs, and brush hogs. Catfish to 8 pounds have been good on cut shad. Coleman, bass are good on watermelon, red soft plastic worms, and lizards. And finally, a reminder, Sweetwater Reservoir Lake is currently experiencing a fish kill due to golden algae, and we will provide updates as they're available.
You know, I'm thinking about the snacks that reminds me as a kid going to Mason visiting my grandparents, and the adults would sit around the kitchen table eating crackers and cheese and summer sausage.
Absolutely.
And drinking Pearl. So it wasn't all good. But, of course, Mason County was dry then, so it was good for them at that time. Anyway, and Dad gave me a summer sausage once for Christmas. I remember that. Had it in a box that was made for a telescope. And I go, ooh, and I open it, it's a summer sausage. But then, bless him, he gave me the telescope wrapped in butcher paper. So it all worked out. Dad was a jokester. Anyway, okay, let's go to Central Texas. In Austin, or Lake Austin, should I say, sunfish are good on cut night crawlers and corn. Big Lake Buchanan, black bass are good on topwaters, white crank chug bugs, and chartreuse soft plastics in 2 to 8 feet at first light. LBJ, striped bass are good on minnows and little fishies at night. Channel cats are very good on night crawlers, liver, and dip bait.
All right. Hunting season, as we mentioned earlier, 1 week away. September 1st, hunting seasons. License are on sale. They've been on sale since August 15. Through August 31, the javelina season, South Zone continues. Just to give you some dates, dove season, north zone, September 1 through November 4. Ditto that for Central Texas. On September 1, all the state of Texas will be dove hunting because the special white-winged doves days in the south zone are September 1, 2, and September 8, 9. But if you're going to hunt those, don't hunt until noon.
Wow.
You can't hunt the early portion. It's noon until sunset.
My goodness.
Okay. And then squirrel season, Harold, the fall season, September 1 through – no, it's in the open counties. Did you know this?
No.
September 1 through August 31, year-round, for open counties in Texas hunting bushytails.
How do I find an open county?
Go look to the Outdoor Annual.
Oh, okay.
Or the app, okay?
Okay, could do that.
You've been on or off the road?
A bit of both, and in luxury. Very capable vehicle, by the way, though. The 2019 Infiniti QX50 Essential All-Wheel Drive. I like to say there ain't no bad Infiniti. You get a lot for your bucks on this thing. The beauty of this thing, too, is their variable compression turbo engine. They worked for years and years and years on this process, and the instead of a straight connecting rod, between the crank and the piston, it looks like an elbow. That's the only way I can explain it. So what it does, based on need, it varies the compression from 8.1 to 14.1. Very interesting. And it works. It works. This thing puts out 268 horsepower, 280 pound-feet of torque. It's their intelligent all-wheel drive that sends the power to the wheels where they are needed. This one also had the premium heating package, premium auto, pro assist package, sensory package, autograph package, tow package, premium paint, and more, more, more. Loaded to the gills, heated front seats, steering wheel, memory seats, Bose Performance premium audio with 17 speakers. Backup collision intervention, their ProPilot assist with steering assist, intelligent cruise control, blind spot intervention, and more. 20-inch dark tinted wheels. Their tow package, 3,000-pound tow capacity with a hitch and the receiver, a transmission oil cooler, and an upsized radiator fan. Really, really nicely laid out. This thing loaded to the gills with the works. Is 45, 24 miles per gallon in town, though, and 31 on the highway, which is unique for a nice-sized vehicle like this crossover. But again, that's that amazing variable compression turbo engine. So check it out, the 2019 Infiniti QX50 Essential All-Wheel Drive.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, Owen Fitzsimmons, Texas Parks and Wildlife Webless Migratory Bird Program Director. We're talking dove on Texas Outdoor News.
This is Morgan Freeman, executive producer of the documentary The C Word, and I'm here to tell you that defeating cancer takes breakthroughs. A breakthrough is the start of something extraordinary. You, the patients, taking part in clinical trials. You, the scientists, doing next-level research to beat cancer. You, the doctors who care for everyone. Let's be the breakthrough.
To learn about screenings and clinical trials, go to standuptocancer.org/breakthrough. Please talk to your healthcare provider about appropriate screenings and clinical trials.
The weather's warmed, winds have laid, and fishing across Texas is heating up. Whether it's fresh or saltwater, Texas Outdoors Journal is your best source of timely tips, saloonier and tide tables, as well as updates on patterns that'll keep you on fish. And even though it's prime time for fishing, Texas Outdoors Journal let hunters know of off-season opportunities as well as how to improve one's skills. These are just a couple of reasons why Texas Outdoors Journal has been named one of the top outdoor publications in Texas. In an annual competition held by the Texas Outdoor Writers Association, no other publication can make a similar claim. Prove it to yourself by picking up a copy of Texas Outdoors Journal at your local newsstand, or better yet, subscribe and save 60% off the cover price. To subscribe using a major credit card, call 1-800-222-4TOJ. That's 1-800-222-4865, or subscribe securely online at texasoutdoorsjournal.com.
You're listening to Texas Outdoor News. Bill Olson along with Harold Gunn, and boy, this is an exciting time. This is like almost like the night before opening of deer season, but it's the weekend before the opening of dove season.
Or the night before Christmas.
That works.
Right.
It's, you know, next weekend really should just be a national holiday of Texas. Starts hunting seasons.
Well, because it's also a national holiday.
You know what? You're right.
Yeah.
It is.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
It's Labor Day weekend.
Labor Day weekend and dove season's open.
Yeah.
I hadn't put all that together. Thank you, Harold.
You're welcome.
Oh, and I tell you what, had a chance to get to know this man on an article in the September issue of Texas Outdoors Journal. He took over or ran off, I don't know, one of the two, from Sean Oldenberger, who had been kind of the dove guy that we dubbed him, mm-hmm. And even changed up his title a little bit.
Yes.
From, I think it was migratory and shorebird and whatever, to now it threw you a curve when we introduced him at the top of the program. Webless Migratory Game Bird Program Leader.
Webless. So, Webless. Owen, does that mean you have no internet connection?
Yeah, well, sometimes.
Owen Fitzsimmons, hey, welcome to Texas Outdoor News. How are you doing this morning?
Doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're kind of wound up this, you know.
I mean, the seasons, yeah.
The seasons are upon us, and, you know, looking at some of the press releases and information coming out of the department, a lot of question marks on hunters' minds post-Hurricane Harvey as to how the dove population, mourning as well as white wing, fared. What's the word coming from y'all?
You know, that was a big concern for me coming in. I was actually living on the coast when the hurricane hit, so I kind of saw that firsthand. And from what we've seen in our surveys, the population has bounced back. Habitat conditions on the coast are back to normal. You know, those coastal systems are really resilient, so seems like everything's back to normal as far as the birds go.
Looking back historically, I guess back to 89, thereabouts, when the heavy freeze wiped out so much of the citrus orchard where white-winged doves wintered or nested in both Texas as well as over in Old Mexico. But white-winged dove have expanded. I mean, I've done some hunts up in North Texas in recent years that reminded me of hunts, you know, on the other side of the river back when we would cross.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we've got more white wings now than we've ever had in Texas. So population looks to be about 10 million or more. And I think as far as we can tell, they're going to continue to expand in abundance and distribution. They kind of follow that, the urban and suburban development. They kind of keyed in on that, and they're able to take advantage of those big mature trees and like city parks and people's backyards and, you know, backyard feeders and things like that. So they're doing really well, which is a good thing for the hunters.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, I think you've already answered it, the contributing factors to this population growth.
Yeah, that was a big, you know, it's hard to say exactly what drove them to start moving into the cities and, you know, more of the urban areas, but now that they have, they seem to really taken a shine to it, and, you know, we estimate about 80% of the population at least associated with an urban footprint, so.
All right, with those kinds of numbers on white wing, where are we on mourning dove?
Mourning doves have stayed relatively stable over the past five to 10 years. We've still got we kind of range each year between 30 and 35 million. This year it's probably around 32 to 34, so quite a few. And of course, that number swells significantly at the height of the hunting season when we get all the influx of birds coming in from other states further north.
Sure. Do you think, you know, just looking ahead, projecting ahead, that white wings will at some point surpass mourning dove populations?
Oh, that's really hard to say. I doubt it, but, you know, time will tell. Who knows?
All right, well, and, you know, we add to the mix a third dove that we can hunt. There's no season, no bag limit on it, on the Eurasian collared dove. What's the status on those birds?
Well, as a department, you know, the exotic species, we don't have any management plans or anything like that, so we kind of spend limited resources on tracking them. But from what we've started, the surveys and stuff that we started putting in a few years ago, we estimate there's about 5 million in the state, maybe more. They're one of those species that kind of is really good at colonizing urban areas, and you know, they took over the whole of Europe in about 100 years, and they're taking over the whole of North America and even less than that. So I imagine they're going to continue to expand, but yeah, you're right. We're seeing a lot of hunters starting to key in on those and start to add those as kind of a supplemental bird when they're out hunting our native species.
I'm assuming their habits are basically the same. I mean, a dove is a dove, or do they do anything different?
No, for the most part, you know, that was kind of the big question with those birds coming in and moving into North America is how they're going to affect our native species. And even though there's a lot of individual reports of you know, they're a bigger bird, so they're a little bit more aggressive at feeding sites or kicking, you know, some of our native species out of nests and things like that. So there's some competition there. But at a population level, we're not really seeing any effects to the native species.
Yeah, just an update for our listeners. Ran across Bobby Thornton, the founder of the Texas Dove Hunters Association, and where the department, and many times we see this in government, where they don't have the funding or the ability initially to track. The Texas Dove Hunter Association has banded some Eurasian collared dove in September 1 through January 31st. Harvest a Eurasian collared dove, turn it in, and there's some drawings for prizes. You can go to their website at texasdovehunters.com. Owen, listen, we're up against the mid-portion of the program. If you would, hold on. Folks, you stick around as well as we'll continue talking all things dove with Owen Fitzsimmons right after this.
You're listening to the state's most honored outdoor radio show, Texas Outdoor News.
I am Tracy Claypack. Jeff and I have been farming for about 38 years. Our boys came in to farm with us in 06, and Capital Farm Credit was able to work with us and help us. My husband and boys are farming land that they have farmed for the last four generations. Capital Farm Credit has been there for us. They actually know what farmers need. Our future plans are to continue working with Capital Farm Credit and make our future better.
Together, we're better. Find out why at CapitalFarmCredit.com.
Equal housing lender. NMLS 493828.
Built on a heavy-duty box steel frame, but not built for the road. Because driving it on anything, even remotely flat, would be a waste of diesel. This is the Roxor from Mahindra, a legendary off-road vehicle with more than 70 years of hardcore heritage. All new, no mercy. The Roxor from Mahindra. Test drive yours today. Find a dealer at RoxorOffroad.com.
The place to stock up on ammunition is Carter's Country for practice, self-defense, or hunting. Carter's has everything you need from Federal and Estate cartridge. Federal's American Eagle practice ammo is priced right, with 9mm at just $4.97 a box and 45 at only $21.97. The superior performance of HydroShock pistol ammo can be yours in 9mm for $23.97, 38 Special for $22.97, 40 Smith & Wesson and 45 Auto is only $24.97. For the bird hunter, Federal's Top Gun shot shells in 12 and 20 gauge are just $6.87 for a 25-round box, and the Estate heavy game shot shells in 12 and 20 gauge are just $6.47 a box. For practice or plenty of hunting, it's hard to beat the economically priced Estate game and target shot shells in 12 or 20 gauge for only $5.97 a box. Stock up right now at all four Carter's Country locations. Carter's Country, where your great outdoors begins.
We continue our conversation with Texas Parks and Wildlife Webless Migratory Bird Program leader.
Okay, can we explain webless?
Yeah, okay. Owen, explain webless. Explain your new title.
okay, sure. So originally it was Migratory Shore and Upland Game Bird Program Leader. And in essence, you know, we changed it to webless just because it's less of a mouthful. But, you know, doves aren't the only species that I oversee. I also oversee sandhill cranes, American woodcock, snipe, rails, and gallinules. So it's basically all the migratory game birds that you can hunt that do not have webbed feet.
There we go. And there are actually snipe. It's not just a joke, right?
That is not a joke. That's a real game bird.
Well, we're talking dove this weekend. We're going to have you back to talk about sandhill crane and some of those other lesser-known...
Which tastes good, by the way.
Yeah.
They
yeah,
really do.
Absolutely. But as we move forward, Harold always complains that come Labor Day weekend and of dove season, he can have doves all over his place up around Mason, and then it rains, and then they're gone.
Right. It always happens.
Yep. Have you all supplied the dove population with little calendars they fly with?
Well, we try to. We do our best to, you know, kind of get the seasons to take advantage of the migration chronology and you know, but weather is weather, and Texas has always been unpredictable.
Absolutely. Oh, and I got to ask a question, because Bill was talking about earlier in our show of seasons, and the special white-winged dove days in the South Zone. I'm looking September 1, 2, 8, 9, and you can't shoot till noon. How does somebody come up with that?
Well, you know, that was a question I had when I first came on with the department, is where the noon thing came from. And there's a number of reasons that date way, way, way back, you know, for biological reasons, but also just kind of a tradition. in South Texas. And that's something that I've kind of been looking through old boxes of papers and things like that to see exactly why that is. But yeah, that's a great question. I think it's part of its tradition, and part of its a little bit of a worry about, you know, hunting too much in the morning and the evening. It's kind of an old, dated thing. So,
you know what? You sound like a really very good government employee. You danced around that answer well.
Well, it's the truth. I really don't know.
Hey, there you go. And you know, and an honest one, too. That's we great. Like that.
Okay, well, as long as they're trying to put you on the spot, because something a lot of people are confused about, and they just go, oh, okay, when they go get their license, can you kind of explain the HIP program? You know, somebody said HIP, and I said, I am HIP. They said, no, Harvest Information Program. What is that?
That's right. That's the federal program to try to track harvest data for these migratory game birds. So, when you go get your license, it's very important to as best you can, summarize what you harvested the previous year, because that's how they track harvest, you know, across the country. And that's where a lot of that information comes from, as far as how many we've taken out of the population and what kind of recruitment we have. And so it's one important piece of a lot of different pieces of information that we use to manage these populations.
Yeah, because a lot of us always have in the back of our mind, we go, hi, we're from the government, and we want some more information from you.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Along the same line of what Harold just asked about the licensing requirement, I just got my new license, and where I purchased a license, they did not have the option for me to buy a federal duck stamp.
Yeah.
Like, normally I go to Academy, and I went someplace else this time. So I got the Super Combo, so I've got the state endorsement, but before I go dove hunting, I have to have a migratory stamp as well, the federal one?
Well, you have to have a duck stamp if you're going to go waterfowl hunting, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm talking about with dove being a migratory bird that crosses state lines, and do you have to have...
No, you don't have to have the duck stamp as long as you're HIP certified. So if you answer those questions and you got that HIP certification on your license, as far as dove goes, you're good.
Gotcha. I sit around and think of questions, and this was one that came up, and I went, wait a minute, I know I have to have one for duck, mm-hmm. but what about dove? In the story, Reading the Dove Field, September, Texas Outdoors Journal, Owen really helped me with some great information. But the migration, when we start the season, we're pretty well hunting resident birds, but as cold fronts move, we've got birds coming in. How far away have you all seen dove make a move from a northern state into the Lone Star State?
Well, as far north as they go. Texas is kind of uniquely located in the Central Flyway to catch pretty much all the birds coming south. They either, if they make it this far, you know, and I'm talking southern Canada, you know, North Dakota, even Michigan, we get some of those birds come down, and they either spend the winter in Texas, or they're at least passing through on their way down to Mexico.
Sure. And then, of course, we've got the late season that begins somewhere in December and runs on into sometime in January, depending upon the zone. And that's really underutilized. Anything that y'all are seeing, trends of people taking advantage of that late season when we've got more northern birds that have been in to the state?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is basically based mostly on public comments and people I've talked to across the state. But yeah, a lot of people are starting to take advantage of that, because you can get some really, really good hunts in January. In fact, personally, I've started scheduling a lot of hunts right after the first of the year.
I think I'm already going to ask a silly question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. We're talking about, you know, the way things come down, and obviously it's weather related, but looking at all the birds in Mexico, does anything ever come up?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes in that early January, depending on the weather, again, dove will kick off, and white-winged doves will kick off breeding sometimes in February, so they'll come back up a little bit early, and that's what a lot of those birds are that you're catching at that point are getting ready to start courting and starting off the breeding season.
Wow. Okay, that's a good question. I had wondered the same thing. If they just
undocumented
kept on...
alien doves.
Doves, yes.
There you go.
Great.
I'm sorry.
Oh, all right. Well, I tell you what, we've got good numbers of birds. Any hot spots before we let you go? We're about to run out of time, but any areas? I mean, we know that the Uvalde-Castroville corridor has been really hot for white-winged dove. Any other hot spots around the state?
A big chunk of the central portion of the state from DFW to Laredo is still really dry. Hill country's abnormally dry, and the reports I'm getting there are not that great. But south of San Antonio, all our biologists and the folks in the valley say it's stupendous habitat down there right now, and there's a lot of birds. And you can carry that all the way up the coast to the Houston area right now, too. So it seems like the south zone is where it's at this year, at least early on.
Well, that's great, and what a great way to get out and mentor the youngsters or the new hunters, and make sure that they've had a hunter education course.
And still got a week to practice.
And they have a week to practice.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we will see many people practicing in the field, which Carter's Country and other of our friends in the shotgun shell business love that.
Right.
Hey, Owen, we appreciate you joining us. We appreciate you letting us pick on you a little bit. Welcome to your new position, and look forward to visiting with you again here on Texas Outdoor News.
Hey, I appreciate it.
Thank you, Owen. Friends, we'll be back with more Texas Outdoor News right after this.
Every summer has a song, and this summer, you can stream over 45 million of them. Discover the Apple experience in all qualifying Jeep vehicles. Enjoy maps, messages, Beats audio, and up to 6 months free of Apple Music with access to millions of songs. So pick a song and tour anywhere the music takes you. Feel like a VIP in the Jeep Grand Cherokee, the most awarded SUV ever. Jump in the Jeep Compass with the most technology in its class and perform masterfully on any stage. Get closer to the stars in the Jeep Renegade with a class-exclusive available My Sky open-air sunroof. Hurry into your Jeep dealer now for the most exciting sales event of the season. And turn up your summer with the official vehicles of summer. For more information about the Apple experience, visit jeep.com/apple. Claims based on class segmentation. Jeep Grand Cherokee has received more awards in its lifetime than any other SUV. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Never fight if you can avoid it. But when you must fight, don't lose. And when nothing less than freedom is at stake, we fight. We're millions of people just like you. We're the longest standing civil rights organization in the US. Proud defenders of history's patriots. Protectors of the Second Amendment. Advocating the right to keep and bear arms. Advancing the shooting sports. Championing gun safety, education, and training. Creating a vital legacy by answering freedom's call. And we're growing stronger every day. We are the NRA. And the NRA is you. Join forces with the 5 million men and women of the NRA and make a stand for freedom today. Sign up now at joinnra.com.
It is time for the outdoor calendar on Texas Outdoor News. Harold, what's coming up?
Okay, again through September 3rd, Labor Day weekend, the CCA Star Tournament is going on. Sign up for that, friends. Believe me, it's a cheap insurance policy. August 30th, Southeast Texas Chapter of the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation Big Game Banquet in Beaumont. For info, 409-673-2771. Also, the 30th, the Rice Belt Chapter of the Ducks Unlimited Fundraiser in El Campo. Info on that one is 361-648-4279. And on August 31st, the 2017-2018 fishing and hunting licenses expire, so the new ones are on sale. Get them now, and then, you know, go get your license, maybe over at Carter's Country, in your brand-new Ford truck.
Built Ford Tough. It's synonymous with the rugged capability, outstanding performance, and dependability of Ford trucks. Whether it's hauling a big load, getting you to a job site, hunting ranch, favorite lake, or the coast, count on the lineup of versatile Ford trucks to work overtime to get the job done. The 2018 F-150 body is up to 700 pounds lighter than the previous generation. Made of high-strength, military-grade 6000 series aluminum alloy used in big military and industrial applications. Plus, its fully boxed frame is made of up to 78% high-strength steel. The F-150 has its most advanced powertrain lineup ever, like best-in-class torque, payload, plus towing, and that's just the beginning of F-150 best-in-class features. The Ford F-150 is Motor Trend's 2018 Truck of the Year, and once again named the Truck of Texas. It's the number one selling truck for 41 years running. So do yourself a favor and stop by one of the 275 best-in-Texas Ford dealers and find out for yourself what built Ford tough really means.
Then take that truck over to Carter's Country. We're talking about loading up on ammo right now. The Dove Load shot shells, clean burning consistent patterns, these things are all on sale here. This is First Dove, $4.97 a box. The Browning Dove and Clay, their new shot shells, $5.57 a box. Heavy feel shot shells from Federal, 12 and 20 gauge. They got a case price of $57.97, so you can afford a shotgun while you're at it. The 870 Express pump from Remington is only $289.97. The Weatherby semi-auto in 12, 20, and youth 20-gauge sizes, only $499.97. So that gives you some leftover money to get that AR you want. The Wyndham Weaponry CFI-223 is only $599.97. Just great values at all four Carter's Country locations in the greater Houston area. Carter's Country, straight shooting since 1961.
I want to thank our guest, Texas Parks and Wildlife Department's Webless Migratory Bird Program leader, Owen Fitzsimmons. Appreciate him joining us and giving some updates. Also want to remind you, again, the web address, TexasDoveHunters.com. That's the Texas Dove Hunters Association. Their Banded Bird Challenge. Don't go to the field without it because you could miss out on some fabulous prizes. Again, TexasDoveHunters.com.
And remember, check our website out, TexasOutdoorNews.com. We archive all of our shows there. It shows you a list of our wonderful affiliate stations. Also, you can like us on YouTube, friends. Just go to YouTube in the search bar up there, type in Texas Outdoor News, listen to it, and then press that little button that says, I like it. Remember, we are brought to you by Ford Trucks and your best in Texas Ford dealers. So we want you to be safe out there in the field, especially when you're swinging on that bird, friends. Be very careful out there. So you'll be back next week so you can tune in again. Same time, maybe the same station or another one for more Texas Outdoor News.